Toucher.
Is this what you want?
And Rich.
Are you happy now?
Toucher and Rich.
Ah, sick.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It was times when I was on the sideline, I just wanted to go up and, you know, say to Belichick or Matt Patricia and just say, this how we going to end this. I grew up in the Patriot system, you know, and I'm a well-mannered guy. You know, I respect my authority, and I just couldn't ask them for something they didn't want to do. I just was doing my job. I was close to going up there and saying what I wanted to say to Matt or Belichick, but I just stayed in my lane and just did my job, man. I really wanted to go ask him, man, but I didn't.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. That, of course, is Malcolm Butler, 617-779-0985. And Rich, I was not on the air yesterday as I was choking on my own stomach acid throughout the evening. But I've been told by listeners not to worry about it. But, Rich, you and John discussed the Malcolm Butler situation.
Yeah, so this whole deal is, once again, it's never going to get old for me until somebody actually answers why the best coach of all time made the dumbest coaching decision of all time. When it comes to the stakes that were involved and how this all went down and the explanations we've been given, conspiracy theories and everything are going to be free. You know what? It's on them. Let them fly. I'll take every conspiracy theory that comes my way, because until they actually answer and tell us what happened, then it's fair game. Yesterday we had Mike Giardi on, and Mike Giardi told us that after that Malcolm Butler interview that he did for Sports Illustrated right there, which was actually pretty damn interesting. It was like 11 minutes long. He said that some of the players that he had spoken with said that the benching was not without merit, and that I believe the wording was, he should have concentrated more on what he was supposed to do for the 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl, which makes you think that it was disciplinary reasons. And I even asked Giardi, I said, were there any people that you spoke to who you trust, who you just weren't able to double check or vet what they were saying, who said it was indeed for disciplinary reasons? And Mike said yes. So once again, it leaves that thing out there. But then we got a caller. All right, this is like, you know, everyone knows somebody who knows something. This is a caller that we got yesterday near the end of the show. Bill, what's up, man? You're on Toucher and Rich.
A lot of this stuff is all smokescreen. Listen, Belichick's old school. First of all, when a player verbally and physically attacks a coach, he's not going to play, and especially when that coach is the head coach's son, and that's what it all boils down to. And I'll just let you guys...
Now Bill, real quick, that is, I mean, obviously, that's not something that has not been confirmed. That was one of those, right, of the many things that were floating out there that there's really no evidence of or nobody on record saying. So, have you heard something? Are you an insider?
Just, it'll come out shortly, yes.
Bill,
you gotta tell
Bill, okay,
longer.
Since you know, Bill, give us more details.
He was sick and he was acting up a little bit, and his, you know, Belichick's kid went up to him, and there was a verbal and a physical altercation, and that was it. And I heard the only reason he did dress, Belichick's not an idiot, if somebody really got hurt, he would have been in. But after disrespecting what he did all year and then doing that to it, it didn't matter what coach he did it to, but to do it to his kid, the words he used, and, you know, I'm not going to say he hit him, but he got physical with them, and it'll come out. That's what he did.
All right, so, Bill, without naming names, like, what type of person did you hear this from?
What type of person?
Was it a player or somebody within the organization? Who did you hear this from?
One of the coaches in the organization.
Okay, so you heard it from one of the coaches. Now, what were the words that were said?
That there was a verbal and physical altercation between Malcolm Butler and one of the defensive coaches, and then as he talked more, you know how you say things without saying it, that it was Belichick's kid, and that's, you know, I'm not saying it wouldn't have happened if he went up and did it to Patricia, but, you know, it's going to be worse if somebody picks on my kid, and, you know, rather than one of my other employees, and that's what it was.
Now, where did this happen? Because I've heard several different versions of this story as to the location of where this fight happened.
It happened outside of the locker room as they were leaving to go to one of the dinner functions.
And why was Malcolm Butler being approached? Like, what did from what you heard Belichick's son say to him to make him angry?
Just, you know, basically it's the Super Bowl. You know, get your head on straight. What the hell's wrong with you? It had been boiling up, as everybody knows. But Butler just went off, and you know, that's one of his coaches, and. Never mind verbally, you don't get physical with anybody. I mean,
was it a push? Was it a push from what you heard, or is it
more or less of a shove? And there were people there that got in between. So,
okay, it was like a hold me back situation. Hold me back.
Yeah, and I think Devin McCourty might have been there, but I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth.
Well, Bill, I'm going to save this call. And if it is indeed true, you can call back in and give us a victory lap. Okay,
there it is.
All right, pal.
Okay, so that was from yesterday.
We've all heard that. Well, I mean, that rumor has been flying around since the Super Bowl.
Yes, we have heard that, and the specifics are kind of... It's funny, Mike Giardi even said he believes that after that interview, we are getting closer to actually finding out what truly happened. And Mike Giardi's whole opinion was, even if... And we were talking about this, too. If that was the case, Fred, let's say that indeed... Steve Belichick got in Malcolm Butler's face, and Malcolm Butler pushed him and called him something like, "You're daddy's boy, you wouldn't even be a coach if it wasn't for your father," or something like that, and pushed him. Is that justification?
No.
To bench him for the Super Bowl?
No, absolutely not.
Okay, see, I completely agree, and I was trying to wonder what the line would be that would make you say, all right, well, he said something that was so over the line that there's no way that you could possibly reward him. Now, Fred, now that people know that we are the insider show, that anyone can feel free to call us, that's when the emails start coming in. Fred, would you like to hear an email I got yesterday after that phone call?
Absolutely.
All right. Dear Rich, a very good friend and coworker of mine for the past 12 years named David is first cousin with the famous DJ Ooh Kid, who is also really tight friends with Gronk and does all of Gronk's DJ at parties. Okay, so that's great. So we already know that this is somebody credible.
Right.
They're
good friends
first
with
cousin
Kid.
Of DJ Ooh Kid.
Ooh Kid.
Who is friends with Gronk and does all of Gronk's DJing parties. The day after the Super Bowl, I asked Dave, hey, what really happened with Butler? Ask your cousin for me. So Dave texts the Ooh Kid right there on the spot in front of me. Ooh Kid said, Gronk told him Malcolm missed the team plane to Minnesota. That is also the reason why he missed being at his booth at Media Day. So, the rest of the week leading up to Super Bowl, Malcolm missed secondary meetings and dogged it in practice. So, finally, the Steve Belichick and captains Devin McCourty and Daron Harmon, quote, tried to check him on it, and Malcolm wasn't trying to heat it.
Hear it, I guess.
Mm. He basically went off on them stating that he was going to get his money from another team after the Super Bowl was over, and he got into a shoving match with Steve Belichick. So that is why all the captains knew about his benching before the game. Also, he did get caught skipping curfew and smoking weed, and Bill has surprised him before the game with the benching and told him something to the effect that he quit on his team. Signed, Guy Who Knows DJ Ooh Kid.
Okay, I've heard all that before, too. He definitely missed a plane. That much is true.
And they're saying because he was sick.
Right.
You know, and he had a flu, and that is the company line. That is what's been thrown out there.
Yeah. We do know that he has missed a plane. There has this Steve Belichick thing has been hanging in the air.
I also don't believe for a second that it was Matt Patricia's decision to bench him, because we heard that yesterday as well.
Yeah.
Somebody said that this might not have even been a Bill Belichick thing at all. It's Matt Patricia. Why? Because one thing we did learn in that little documentary is that one of the 11 teams that wanted Malcolm Butler were the Detroit Lions. The Detroit Lions were a team that wanted him. Now, maybe not for the same amount of money that he ended up getting.
Yeah.
But why would Matt Patricia bench him for the Super Bowl and then say, hey, you know what, we want to pay you to come play here?
It doesn't make any sense that he would have the power to do that. Bill Belichick's the head coach. You don't defer to the defensive coordinator about taking one of your best players on defense. And I know it was an uneven year, but a guy who played almost every snap during the regular season and bench him. No, that is a head coach decision. That is not a defensive coordinator decision.
So let's say, and by the way, the more I hear that first caller, the more I actually kind of believe that that's what happened. Like, it all seems to make sense.
Well, he missed a team flight, we know that. And yeah, and then he probably got into and Devin McCourty was the first guy to come out and say that it was a disciplinary reason.
Yep, and to say that we knew he wasn't going to start. So if that was the situation where Devin McCourty was there, but once again, does that justify if you're as a fan of the Patriots?
No, he has one game left. It's the Super Bowl.
If you find out that that's true,
have a 20-foot rail of cocaine.
I said the same thing. I'm like, all of these people who have busted their ass to get to the Super Bowl, you put their chances in jeopardy because of almost vanity. It's vanity if it's like a family thing and you're like, okay, well, you can't push the. You jeopardizes everyone else in that team's chance to get a ring because of that decision that you made.
And also, especially since he's leaving, I don't understand why you would put any discipline on him. He didn't get arrested, or he wasn't Eugene Robinson who went out and got caught getting a prostitute the night before the Super Bowl.
Like, what if you're as a fan of the Patriots, what would Malcolm Butler have had to have said to Steven Belichick that would make you accept or his benching?
What would he have to do in general? 617-779-0985. I think that he would have to get arrested.
Because I agree with you. Because, I mean, this is a violent sport, and these are grown men. There's going to be pushing and shoving.
Right.
And if it's just pushing and getting in someone's face.
Or if it's smoking weed, I don't care. Even if it's missing the plane, normally I would not put. But, okay, so say it's missing the plane and it's all these things we have to break. And you add them all up. What does it matter at that point?
Right. Does it still justify it?
Yeah. Do you think that by not playing him, the team's going to be better in that particular game? Do you think if you play them, the team's going to just take a deep breath and not try? That's the thing. I mean, you could always cut him at the end of the year, even if he was someone who you had under contract.
As a Patriots fan, would that be a good enough reason that you would accept Malcolm Butler being benched by Bill Belichick, if that was true?
Or what would it take?
What would it take for you to accept the reasoning behind his benching?
It's exactly what your coworkers are going to be talking about today.
I am dizzy. I'm really dizzy.
Kutcher and Rich.
Oh, my God.
Austin's home for sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Week before the Super Bowl, you know, I wasn't feeling too well. Like, I had the flu, nose running, stopped up. You know, I took a trip to the hospital, and I didn't travel with the team the day they traveled down there. I never missed a game, never, like, missed practice or anything like that. And what we would have won if, you know, I played, probably, maybe, not sure, but I would say we were short about one or two plays, and I seen a couple plays out there I could have made. It was just a coaching decision. This one ain't work out good for me, him, or the New England Patriots organization.
Spooky music behind his speech.
Makes it just much so more ominous sounding.
This is grave. Very grave.
985 The Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich, information coming out, theories being thrown around.
I mean, the main thing that this is all coming from is when we talked to Mike Giardi yesterday, he said that he had spoken, he tweeted this on Friday as well after that interview with Sports Illustrated that Malcolm Butler did was, and that he said that players said that, you know, Malcolm was disciplined for, or not disciplined, that there was good reason behind him not being benched, insinuating that there were disciplinary reasons why this all happened.
Right.
And when I asked Mike Giardi, I said, were there any people whose opinions that you've trusted and whose information you've trusted have said that it was for disciplinary reasons? He said, obviously, he can't vet anything. There wasn't anything that he could responsibly run with, but there had been people who have told him things of the sort.
All right. So, if Butler did what they say he did, is that enough not to play him in the Super Bowl?
If he pushed Steven Belichick and got in his face and yelled something at him
and missed a team plane, is that enough? And what would it take, in your opinion, to bench Malcolm Butler for the Super Bowl?
For you to side with Belichick, what would Malcolm Butler had to have done for you to side with Bill Belichick on benching Malcolm Butler during the Super Bowl?
All right, Rob, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hey.
I thought Belichick's motto the whole time he was with the Patriots was that his job was to do was best for this team. And you've heard him say it a million times over and over again in interviews. That's his excuse every interview. My job is to do what's best for this team. You know, I really don't understand what he was doing there at all. Honestly, if the only thing that Malcolm Butler could have done is disrespected Belichick pretty much and he got fed up with it. But, you know, I thought his job was to do that. What number did Tom Brady go in the draft? I thought they trusted him on that. I thought he was supposed to be this decision maker. And, you know, it's just one thing that who's to say we would have won the Super Bowl if Malcolm Butler played? He's made a big play before that's won us a Super Bowl. Who's to say he wasn't going to do it again?
Here's what I think probably happened, is that Bill Belichick heard of this happening. And throughout the previous couple weeks, the whole Seth Wickersham article had come out. There were stories about players dissenting against what Bill Belichick wanted to say or do. He's been dealing with Gronkowski and the Guerrero stuff and Tom Brady, and all of a sudden, everyone's not 100% buying in to the Patriot way. And I think that he thought that this is where I make my stand. I've got a player here that I'm going to punish, and I'm going to say, you do not act this way, and you are going to be benched. And I think what happened was he benched him for the beginning of the Super Bowl. Things started to spiral out of control. And he still had a feeling that he might be able to pull this off without him.
Yeah, I think this is not the point to make. I mean, this is
Fred,
not the time
I'm with
to make
you.
It.
It's the super effing bowl. You don't do it here, but I can see why he got caught up in that.
Well, then do it in the AFC Championship game. Do it in the divisional round.
But he didn't push, or he didn't hypothetically push his son at the AFC Championship game. He did the Super Bowl.
John, go ahead.
Guys, let's get some perspective here. Nothing's going to happen on the Gronk situation until the draft when they trade him, okay? Eddie Money has a reality show. He's got a reality show. There are two episodes out on the Eddie Money family reality show, and you have done nothing
it's
on
not out
it.
Yet. It comes out next week. It comes
yeah, April 8th, 9th.
Or April 9th.
April 9th is the debut. It's
yeah,
trust called
me,
Real Money.
We're
right?
going to be all over it.
There are previews. There's plenty of money to tease this. You've got to be teaser.
Yes, stupid.
Yeah, we will be all over it, trust me.
Believe
I've
me.
Seen the commercials.
I'm a part of this show. You better believe it's going to be Eddie Money out the ass. You better believe it. Believe me, that trumps everything. I don't care if the Bruins make the Stanley Cup Finals. You're going Eddie Money on the people. Jeff, go ahead.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
First of all, I think the point that you made, there's nothing that he could have done to really warrant a benching in the Super Bowl, right? I'm sort of getting arrested, like you guys already mentioned. But here's the point that I want to make, is that he wasn't benched during the Super Bowl because he played that one special team snap, right? Had our defense actually showed up and stopped them and forced them to punt more than once, he would have played more snaps. So to me, that indicates that it's punitive to hurt Butler based on the situation and all of the nonsense that went on throughout the course of the year with the contract and him wanting more money. And I think that Belichick tried to hurt him going into free agency, and that was the way that he tried to do it.
But not at the expense of winning the game.
He did something at the expense of winning the game.
I don't think it was that, though.
All right, fair enough. But
it was something that happened in the run-up to the Super Bowl. Yeah. It wasn't something that happened over the course
Again,
of the season.
Unless he got arrested for something, I don't care. If it's the weed thing, I don't care. If it's missing the airplane, I don't care. If it's getting into a little scrum with his son, I certainly don't care.
Especially if it's a player you're not going to... Oh, no, it's a Super Bowl, so I'm not even going to quantify it. I was about to say, especially if it's a guy that you're not going to see after this game and you're done and over with, your time is over.
Even if you did, you could cut the guy.
Unless
it's a
Super Bowl.
If there's huge cap repercussions, if you don't cut the guy, then you trade him. You can get guys off your team. Jesus, they got rid of Garoppolo for a second round pick. I mean, there's a way to get guys off your team. There's nothing that came out publicly, which means that he wasn't arrested, which means that there's literally very little he could have done. He could have had three prostitutes in his room, and I still would have played him.
I had somebody close to the team yesterday say, well, listen, if that really happened, then why haven't any of the players said anything about it? Because they got to play with Bill Belichick. They're not going to go out. They're going to run their mouths. They got to face that guy.
Well, even if
they obviously don't want that out there.
Well, yeah. Maybe Deion Lewis will say something because he wasn't too happy when he left.
No, there's a lot of guys who weren't very happy when they left. I mean, this is weird. This is a weird offseason.
Yeah.
I'm not used to this.
It's cool.
I mean, isn't this kind of cool?
Did Slater resign when I was on vacation?
Yes, he did. He did.
He probably took, like, pennies on the dollar.
Possibly.
Say yes, MIT is so close.
He was visiting the Steelers. I do know that.
Yeah, Carnegie Mellon. That holds no truck.
Yes,
with
the old Steel City has turned its attention to technology.
Mm-hmm.
Like to play in the San Francisco area, perhaps, Silicon Valley.
He did not want to be that far away from MIT. A part of him would have died inside.
That's right. You know he took pennies on the dollar to resign here.
He's going to the Hall of Fame, man.
He's going to the Hall of Fame.
He should...
He shouldn't even be allowed in the Hall of Fame.
What? As a visitor?
Yeah. Okay. He's, you know he's going to be in the Patriots Hall of Fame. You're like, what is this?
He's going to, oh, hell yeah. He's putting the blazer on? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He's a gunner. Good.
Yep. Oh, he's in the Hall of Fame. Easily.
I find the correct angles, and there I go, running on special teams and tackling you.
Open new special
Here's
teams.
Here's a ball right by the one. Now we're going to have some fun. I'm on the field 10 times a game. Yay, I'm going to the Hall of Fame.
Here are the headlines. I don't know if we can top that. That was magical what I just did.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
When you were gone, Rich, on vacation, Hardy was in for a couple days. We had everybody in for a couple days, but Hardy was in for a couple days, and he was challenging me on not knowing who the people are that work part-time during the weekends.
We did that with you a while back.
We did?
That's the second time. Yeah. We brought in a bunch of the salespeople and had you name all the salespeople, and you couldn't get any of the names.
Oh, I don't remember that.
But that happened a while back.
Well, that shows you my memory. I don't remember that. But and then I contended that I'm an everyman, and the listeners sweepingly agreed. They
sweepingly?
Yeah, it was like a sweep.
It was like you got like 29% of the vote. There were four candidates. You got 29%.
So you said I'm an everyman, and the phones and I just said yes, you are an everyman.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay, right. No. Josh Fowler put up a poll.
He beat me by like 3%.
They put Bird, you, me, and Wallach, and I won it by a landslide. Fowler probably still has the information up there.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Was I on there?
Yes, you
I got to be last place. Yes. I'm completely not the everyman. I'll be the first to admit that. I do weird stuff that no one else would do. I'm completely not the everyman.
Yeah, you came in last.
As far from it would be, and I'd be first to admit that.
Well, I don't think it's that much, but yeah, you came in last. But that was not the point. The point was that the bit was going to say, like, hey, do you know who these people are? Mm-hmm. And I said, wait a second. I'm the everyman. And then, oh my goodness, Marshall Hook, who came back and gave me a bottle of scotch. But Marshall Hook, I was convinced he hated me until he gave me this bottle of scotch. The people yelling and screaming, the people here at the radio station, you think you're an everyman, blah, 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 blah. So I want to ask you, do you remember who the people they asked me about were?
Yes.
I think I know most of the weekend people.
We had a female voice that said that I'm one of the two women that work in this radio station. You got that.
Kristen was Tracy.
No, but the thing is, then she asked, who's the other one? And Fred had the picture in his mind but couldn't get the name out.
Kristen.
Right.
Kristen Sermon.
Kristen Sermon.
Okay,
right.
Do you have another one of these?
Hi, Fred. I met you in August of 2009.
I will remember you.
When you were at BCN.
What's up with the music? Can we just get the clip?
No.
Okay.
It's part
week
of it.
Before
part
we converted to the Sports Hub.
Don't let your life pass you.
I was your overnight guy for about 8 years. Who am I?
Oh, that's the general.
Okay, yeah.
Captain.
Yeah,
your captain.
Okay.
But
what's his name?
I actually know that.
No way.
Sean. Nice job!
How the hell do you know his name?
That's right. Because I talked to him a couple times.
Oh. Yeah.
Now, do you know his last name?
Yeah.
What is it? I'm here overnights with him.
Like, I know.
What's
awesome.
His last
but
name?
I'm laughing because you said you
Sean
talked to him.
Sean McGilroy.
Yes, baby. Attaboy, Rich.
How nice the hell job. Do you know that?
That's it. Because I've talked to him, and I've seen his Facebook, and it's strange.
How many times? Okay.
It's a guilty pleasure, to be quite honest.
How many times did you... So say he was here for 9 years. He's still here. He still comes in.
Yeah.
Right. How many times do you think you talked to him?
3 times a year. No, okay. I'd say more than that. I'm joking. I probably... I always say hi to him in the morning.
Yeah.
But actually had a conversation once a month. And a conversation being like more than just good morning.
I would bet you I've never had a conversation with him because I'm not in that room. And I don't know how many people times I said hi to him. I mean, obviously, if you see him in the hall, I'm going to say hi.
Yeah.
The redheaded stranger.
Hi, Fred. Sarge here.
All right. Okay, I do know Sarge.
All right. Play him one. Play him another one. All right, let's see what we got here.
Hi, Fred. I've worked at 98.5 since 2013. I've never worked with you, but I've been introduced to you at least
five or six times.
Is Tim McCone?
And I don't feel too bad if you don't get my name, because I've worked with Felger at least 10 times and he still mispronounces my name every single time.
Is that Tim McCone? Is it?
Nice job.
Is it? Oh, how the hell do you know Tim McCone?
Because he's on the air. He's on the radio.
Yeah.
Like, he does updates.
He replaced me doing updates yesterday.
Yeah, yeah.
He walked right in here.
Okay, all right.
he's on the air all the time.
He came in.
Yeah, but never with us.
He passed within three feet of you.
But you listen to the station when we're not on.
Yes, but yeah. I don't.
He's clocked a lot of time during these past few months because of vacation.
Does television down in Providence as well.
No, I didn't know that. Yes.
Now, how the hell would I know that?
I had no idea about that.
All right, and one more here.
Hi, Fred. I first worked with you 3 years ago on your show.
Right. I got that right. That's the sound of a guy
yeah, up easy. All night checking the scores that's and easy. Betting on ponies.
Yeah, it's easy.
Give Fred credit. He got that pretty quick. Liv Schatz needs to be on Towny Jeopardy. I mean, he's a shoo-in.
Yeah, Liv Schatz. Who was the one that was on here for Towny Jeopardy?
The what?
Joe Murray.
Yeah, Joe Murray. Yeah,
so Joe Murray's a degenerate gambler.
Yes.
Is Dan Liv Schatz?
He doesn't try and hide that.
Oh, yeah. Like, he'll tweet out stuff like, you know.
Yeah, I like Liv Schatz. He supports the show, but yeah, he's like a degenerate gambler.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that you know that. Tim McCone.
Mm-hmm.
And you knew the general's name.
Yeah.
Captain.
The captain.
Now, of course, he gave himself the nickname, which you can't do.
Well,
but that's.
He's met a lot of famous people. Just go to his Facebook and you'll see all those pictures. Mm-hmm. A lot of famous people.
Knowing the captain's name out of nowhere. Yeah. Blowing that out of the air.
Well, I mean, he's a guy I see all the time in the
morning. Yeah, but when you see someone, you don't, like, introduce yourself more than once. Like, that's, I would have bet you $1 million that you would not have known his real name.
I think I know most of the weekend people. There's a couple people I don't know.
I got the captain's name right.
Mm-hmm.
And
did
I knew.
I didn't get his name. Who's that right there in the other room?
I don't know.
Yeah, I got. He's working. We see him every day.
How the hell would I know?
He produces the show that follows us.
But I say I talk to him, but I don't. We don't introduce each other.
Come on, walk on in if you don't mind. Would you please, this gentleman?
Right here.
How do you not know him?
Like, I know who he is.
He comes in studio a lot and has to move things around.
He had a big cause with the Flint water.
Come over here.
Right here. I know about him. He had a big thing with Flint water.
How long have you been working for the Zolak and Bertrand show?
I've been with them since 2014.
Okay, all right. So you were here when Gresh was still here.
Yep, and I was doing overnight since 2011.
All right, so
So how many times?
Hang on. Okay. The Flint water thing.
Yep.
We had that going on, that right?
One time. 2 years ago.
A couple times we talked about the Flint water situation.
Yep.
But when we see each other, do we introduce? We don't introduce each other to ourselves.
I have.
How long ago did you introduce yourself?
I don't know. Probably when I did overnights.
Yeah, so like 2011. I mean, I know who you were. If like you showed up at my house, I'd go, "Hey, how you doing?"
But you've heard Zolak and Bertrand talk to him and talk about him, and I mean, it's like he's referenced on their show.
He's got a nickname.
Like they'll come in studio and like you know Zolak will yell into the other room.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but I mean, does he call him by name?
Yes. Yeah, he does.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Got a nickname.
You look kind of pissed.
It's okay.
No, you look.
No,
like
he always looks like this. He always looks like that.
Okay, that's his regular. Look.
That's his resting face.
Yeah. Okay,
yeah. resting pissed face. Yeah,
that's right.
That's right.
Do you think Felger would be able to tell you?
No. Oh
yeah.
God.
Yeah. Felger really?
Yeah.
Felger
yeah,
know
him. Oh boy.
I think Felger's got a pretty good memory.
That's an insult right there. He can't get McCone's name right, and he knows his name.
Yeah.
Felger has a good memory.
I think he's got a pretty good memory.
Oh.
And he. All right. It's my fault. I mean, I know things about you guys, but I just don't. I don't remember the names.
Give him three names. One of them being the real one. Let's see if he can figure it out.
That's fair.
All right, Mike,
Sarge,
Tom, and Bob.
No, are these all people that work here?
One of those is my real name.
Oh, you.
Yeah, you're saying three names.
Tom. One of those three. Yeah.
Tom.
There it is.
There you go, Fred.
That's got it.
Yeah.
Mm.
See, now I know Tom. Good old Tommy boy.
Mm-hmm.
My main man, Tommy, in the house.
Tamaroo.
Who is the, who's
AKA
the,
Chief
T-Bone.
Bucko.
T-Bone. Right, I call everyone man. All right, so the girl that Tracy Clemens introduced in this
Kristen.
Thing, Kristen,
yeah.
I knew a ton about her.
Right.
I knew that she, you know, went to Paisley Park.
Right. She's the person that you know, and it's awkward to ask their name because you know them so well.
Right.
I had a guy I lived next to for like 3 years, and I didn't know his name, and I talked to him for like, you know, minutes on end.
And she said in the thing that she had driven me to the Deutsche Bank and driven me back from the Deutsche Bank. I said, coming back doesn't count.
Going there, much, right.
Yeah. Coming back is a crapshoot.
Yes.
But listen, you got me and my friend in the back of the car. We've done better in our life. Well, I'm very impressed by you. No more so than the general's real name.
Captain.
Or the captain's real name.
You got to check out that Facebook page, man. Yeah, it's good stuff.
I have, and congratulations to him. Didn't he have twins?
Yes,
he did.
So that's
right. I know that about him, that he had twins.
Mm-hmm. You got it. It's true.
Coming out with that. Would you have known his name, John?
Yes. I deal with him a lot more because he produces Celtics games as well. I say hi to him and that kind of thing.
Say hi to him.
I do. In the mornings.
No, you don't.
In the mornings. Yeah.
No, that was a dig at Fred, is that he doesn't say
oh, no, name. that not intentionally a dig, but it was.
But Dan, do I walk in that room in the morning?
Yes, and you don't say hi to anybody. No, and I don't take that the wrong. That came out wrong.
I just did.
It's for, you know, people are doing other things, but when you come in the morning, if there's something, you just like, hey, man. Hey, what's up? But you don't generally address somebody when you come into the control room.
Well, especially the captain. No. You got to keep your distance. Don't know what's going on there. I kid. All right. Well, good job. Good job. No more than I do. But still, every man swept it. He put the results up.
That's right. And they were just as close as I remember them.
Nah. That's you got to get.
There you go, Rich, right behind you. There are the results.
You got to give. Yeah. You got to give a couple points. Error.
That's true. I forgot. You could have won by 5 instead of 3. That's right.
Right. And then I don't know why Bird was up there. He skewed everything.
Oh, you see, you're saying Bird, the independent candidate, took votes away from you.
Yeah.
That you would have gotten.
Oh, absolutely.
I see.
Absolutely.
So I thought Bird would have been the strongest in that competition.
I don't think every man still lives at home when they're 40.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I know.
I mean, he's very specific. If you were looking at, like, a state election, he's, like, a very specific county.
I guess you're right.
Yeah. That one Trump election.
Well, actually, that's not true. It's all the surrounding places that won an election. All right, we'll be right back.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hang on 1 second, because we've done something like this before. 98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Anthony, hello.
Steak and eggs, boys.
Hey.
So, I'm wondering whatever happened to the Nick and Bird show at 5:30, because I turned on Amy Lawrence at about 5:40, and she was playing a promo of the Penguins winning the Stanley Cup last year, and I'm very confused.
Well, she also was talking about how her granny, what did she call her, Gammy? Her Gammy was turning 93. That's when I came in, and that she was going to indulge herself in a long weekend, and then her niece.
I don't want to talk about Amy Lawrence anymore. Like we gave her a chance to come in studio.
Well,
she
was
here, and then she's like, "No, I'm not going to."
Because she's terrible. Even more time to pile on. Now the Nick and Bird show—they're never going to let us do that here at the station, but they could do a podcast and put it up on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
They're looking for podcasts too. Like, as a matter of fact, there's a contest.
I'll write this Beasley fellow and see what the deal is.
There actually is a Beasley.
There's a guy.
That's right.
There is. There actually is.
My homework, but give me an address. I'll get the boys writing some letters.
All right. Well, I don't know the address, but they're above me. But I'm sure you can find it. They're in Naples, Florida.
I just know that the dude's going to be upset because, you know, the Bird and the Dude show. Would that still continue?
Oh, that's a good point.
Or would it, unfortunately,
can Bird do two podcasts? Does he have enough material for two podcasts?
There's a lot of guys that do two podcasts.
All I know is that there's one guy that I do want for a podcast.
My name is Mark Chabelli.
And that is not Nick. That's his father.
Yeah, I have a feeling he runs out of steam pretty quick. But yeah, I believe me, I'd like it too if they come on at 5:30, but that's not going to end up happening. But they could do a podcast. They could get it together and do a podcast together.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very easy. You go to 98.5 The Sports Hub, get that app,
And you're streaming that thing, and you're listening to podcasts, and you're doing everything.
What about, like, Lifshatz picks the ponies? Why don't we just get him?
Just a horse racing?
Yeah, horse racing one. Pick the ponies.
We pick the ponies.
By the way, speaking of picking the ponies, so right now all the horses are qualifying to end up, you know, racing in the Kentucky Derby. Well, there was
next month, right?
That's right, next month. So there's, you know, a bunch of races being held to figure out who ultimately is going to be racing. And last weekend at the Brandon Stakes or the Burridon Stakes in England, there was a horse that won it, and because it won it, it will be running in the Kentucky Derby. Here is said horse.
Gronkowski, near side, hard at work. Purser over on the far side. And then Dark Acclaim, Nialetti hanging tough. Iconic Sunset staying on Gronkowski and rallying Dark Acclaim. Gronkowski under the near side running rail from Purser and Iconic Sunset. It's Gronkowski who's fought his way to the front. Purser over is staying on with Dark Acclaim. But it's Gronkowski doing enough. Could he be Kentucky Derby bound? Gronkowski won the Burridon Stakes.
So Gronkowski will be running in the Kentucky Derby this year.
How do they get the horses over transcontinental?
Boat.
You think they put a stud horse on a boat for that long?
I don't know. Would you fly a horse?
I don't know how you do it.
It would have to be a boat.
Yeah, but then how do they got a trot and everything. How do you do that?
Well, I mean, you can walk it around. I mean, it's got to be a big enough boat where you'll be able to walk it.
Don't they have to run, though?
I mean, could you do, how long is that? What, a two-day trip?
Wait, on a boat across from London to the United States?
I have no concept of how long it is.
It's a week. The Queen Mary, I believe, is a week.
Okay.
I believe it's 7 days.
Listen, I have no idea how you would do that, how you would transport a horse from one, you know, from England to here. I have no idea. So I'm speaking out of my ass completely. But I would think it would be by boat, unless you would have to have one of those big ass one that carries the tanks. What are those called? C4s? The planes?
C4? I thought that was an explosive, no?
Oh, they sedate them and put them on a jet, is what I'm hearing.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, because you can't have that horse on that. Those things are worth so much money.
No, C4s are those tiny planes. I'm completely off on that, too. I think those are like the ones that you take to like Martha's Vineyard. I think that's a C4.
Oh, the wings type of plane, right, with the propeller, yes.
It's a big baby plane. Big baby Glenn Davis plane.
where you can't even sit up straight.
Right.